What a night it was last night. Man, that was fun. Colorado Avalanche comeback win. Denver Nuggets comeback win over the Golden State Warriors. 130 to 127. Nikola Jokic hits a 40-footer at the buzzer. And the Nuggets complete the rally, down 18 in the fourth period. On to talk with us to start the show. What better way to do it than to bring the voice of the Denver Nuggets on, Jason Kosmiski. Jason, my man, what a call by you, and what a thriller of a basketball game last night, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, that was highly unexpected, you know, and to be honest, to be honest with everybody, Denver really had no business winning that basketball game. You know, Golden State just caught one of those deals where they think they could just coast in the fourth quarter, and that would be a wrap. And 99% of the time with that kind of a lead, I mean, heck, Denver was down by 18 points with 5 minutes left to go in the game. And the Warriors just took the foot off the pedal, and Denver did the exact opposite. A little bit of luck goes a long way, but that was awesome.
Oh, it was. It was such an interesting comeback, too, Jason. I mean, watching this game, you just kind of feel – you're down 18. Okay, suddenly you're down 15, 12. It was a slow kind of comeback, and then just like that, the Nuggets get the tie. I love Jamal Murray's steal to set up the three-pointer. Those were two key plays.
Yeah, I mean, there was a you go back and look at that. There was a not only Murray, but Aaron Gordon, a 65% free throw shooter. Mm. Hits four threes during that, and he needs them all. You know, you can't afford to miss. He hits four free throws to help that comeback, you know, happen. So I don't know. I always have fun with it when I'm with the list. I guess it keeps me more engaged. I'll be like, you know, I'll say something like, okay, right now the Nuggets are down by 18. Goal number one is get this thing down to 10. You know, and I've done this probably, I don't know, 1,000 times when the Nuggets have been trailing by big in the fourth quarter. And this was the only time it ever worked. I think I said during the broadcast. last night they need a 12-0 run, or else they're not going to win. You know what I mean? So I mean, it just I think it keeps the listener more involved, and I think it keeps me more engaged. And especially when you're down that big, people tend to turn the radio off anyway. But hopefully, they didn't do that last night.
Well, and you wrap that up with a sensational call. I'm preparing for overtime mentally, ready to go. And Nikola Jokic. I mean, what? But Jason, it's to the point now where Joker is just that good. When he launches it from outer space, you kind of get a sense that maybe that basketball is going to go in the hoop.
Yeah, I mean, during this stretch, his last 66 shots, I think this is the right stat. In his last 66 shots, he's made 59 of them. Okay, and this guy isn't a prototypical 7-foot post up center that does everything at the rim. You know, I talked to him last night. I'm like, dude, I go, you're just an alien. You're not really a human being. I mean, I'm running out of ways to describe his greatness. He goes, man, I just had a good night. Sometimes they go on. I go, let me ask you this, though, honestly. Do you practice that shot? He goes, of course not. When would that ever come into play? And I'm like, yeah, that's true. You know, it's not really part of a normal offense. So, yeah, it seems like every other night the dude's breaking somebody that only he and Wilt Chamberlain have done, and you know, he's just the greatest basketball player on the planet right now, and the best one I've ever seen with my two eyes.
Jason Kosmiski joining us, the voice of the Denver Nuggets. Okay, help me out here. What was Steve Kerr so he just hates on Nikola Jokic? It seems like the last couple of times, complaining about how Joker gets to the foul line so much. We all know that's true, right? Following these Nuggets. And then he was mad again when Joker's like pressing defense. What was going on in that sequence?
You know, I don't know what was going on. You know, I think he got one call back in his favor with all of his complaining. You remember Denver inbounded it at three-quarter court even after a timeout, right? Now, what you can do is you can advance it, and that's why Malone called the timeout. The problem was Jamal Murray took a dribble and then called the timeout. So now you can't bring it all the way back across the half-court line. You have to take it out where the last dribble happened. And that was one of the many things that he was complaining about. But I don't know, man. You know, it's got to be tough on him. He's a good dude. That team's won championships. He's been the coach of those championships. You know, he's got one of his best players that's suspended, and nobody knows, even the NBA doesn't know how long Draymond Green's going to be out. You know, Klay two major injuries. I mean, the team is just in a – they're 11th in the Western Conference. They're not who they once were. So, obviously, it's gonna take on you a little bit personally, and he's just trying to will his team to a win, no matter what kind of language or what kind of words he wants to use in order to get that done.
Well, the Nuggets found a way to get it done, 130 to 127. We talked about Joker with an amazing night. The Sombor double-double, is that what we're – what is it? Sombor triple-double. There we go. 34 points, 10 assists, 9 boards. But, I mean, Jamal Murray, this was a unique night for him because the last time he was in that arena was not a very fond memory for him. So for him to come out, a rough first quarter for him, but he ends with 25 points and 6 assists and some key defensive plays.
Yeah, no, I mean, he is, he's playing it out. You know, Jamal does everything backwards. He does the hardest thing first. Like, what's the hardest thing in the NBA? It's win a championship. So he goes and, you know, he goes and does that first. And now, you know, and then the next hardest thing is try and stay consistent in the regular season, try and become an all-star. So, and again, he starts slow this year, but now he's getting all-star type numbers. Does it mean the world to him if he makes the all-star game? No, he's not going to live or die by that, but I know that he really, really wants to. So his play this entire year has been at a very consistent level. I mean, he's not trying to play, you know, 5 years ago, you know, Westbrook hero basketball. You know, that's not what this team is. It's about, you know, they're a passing and cutting team, and you find the best shot available, and whoever that might be, might be. But Murray's having a very, very consistent year. I think he's close to averaging now 20 points per game. Really takes good care of the basketball for as much as he has it, and as many pick and rolls as they run, it's easy to turn that thing over, but he never does it. So I think the world of Jamal. I think he's doing it his way, and all of his numbers are creeping up 1 month at a time as we go into the NBA season.
Jason, something has clicked for Peyton Watson too, and is it the commercials? Is that what it is? Because there's a new chemistry there between he and Nikola Jokic. Because I'm loving the commercials, but 19 points for him off the bench last night.
Yeah, you know what it was. Here's what I really think it was. First of all, this guy works as hard as anybody, okay? And he's in his second year and, you know, didn't really play at all last year. And then they start doing that again this year to where he's not getting the minutes. And this can, you know, it's easy to lose faith, you know? But you watch him in summer league and in preseason, and the guy just goes on fire. But for whatever reason, here's what I think it was. Some guys can come in with energy in 8 or 9 minutes and absolutely change the game for you. Julian Strother has this kind of mentality. Now there's other dudes, like the one that comes to mind for me is Al Harrington. They need a little bit more time off the bench. They can't get that done in 6, 7, 8, 9 minutes. They need 14, 15, 16. And if you have enough guts to play a young player that many minutes, you're going to get rewarded. And that's what's happened to Watson. But it was that very first game, you remember? I can't remember who they played, when Aaron Gordon was out with the dog bite. And what they decided to do is they decided to play off of Peyton Watson. So what that means is that they took the guy who's defending Peyton Watson and used him to either double-team Nikola or Porter or Jamal Murray. And this left Peyton Watson wide open with no defender in the three-point line in the corner. And they're basically saying, we don't think he can do it, right? I mean, that's one of the most disrespectful things in the NBA is when you take a defender off of a guy and just let him stand there by himself. Now, he missed the first two, so the plan was working for whoever they were playing. But then Peyton made 4 in a row. And I really think that one game, that one moment in time is what made him realize, okay, man, I can do this. I'm a help to this offense and defense. I'm a significant member of this team, and I think ever since then, he's just blown up. I mean, his numbers, he was not even known as an offensive guy. And like you said, every night this guy's going out there getting 14 to 20 some odd points a game.
Well, it's so needed too, because, you know, we always talk about the bench, and, you know, it does kind of still feel like on any given night maybe a bench player will come up big for you. But that's always kind of, if we want to talk about a concern or anything like that as far as, you know, wondering if the Nuggets can repeat, it is looking at that bench unit. So when you see a guy like Peyton Watson start to get going and be a consistent producer off the bench, I mean, it makes a lot of people happy, obviously, especially Michael Malone.
Well, for sure. And then, and just think what that does to the Denver Nuggets culture, right? I mean, here you have, now Strother's getting minutes, but, you know, go to the end of the bench and some of the guys that people have never even heard about before. We have rookies in Jalen Pickett and Hunter Tyson, who was fantastic in the summer league, a really good three-point shooter out of Clemson. They're seeing Peyton Watson doing what he does right now, and you know they think to themselves, man, he was me last year. He was me sitting right here on this bench doing absolutely nothing, going in, working out every single day, working on defense, working on. So they saw everything that Peyton Watson has gone through in order to get what he has now. And so they know that that's attainable. And that's really huge for the Denver Nuggets culture. And I might add, a rare thing in today's NBA where you don't just try and buy a team, you build a team. And it takes years to do that. But when you do that, a lot of things happen. You know, you have a system and you have a culture, and there's no me basketball in Denver. It's us basketball. And so all that stuff goes into play. But those guys at the end of the bench getting to see what Peyton Watson is doing only will help them down with their careers a little bit later on.
Jason, last one for you, man. Looking at around the rest of the league, specifically in the Western Conference, do you look at the Nuggets right now and feel like they're the best team? Obviously, Minnesota has the best record in the West, OKC right behind them. The Kings are a really gritty basketball team there. The Pelicans doing some good things. Who is the best team in the Western Conference right now? Is it Denver?
Right now, as we sit here and speak today,
yeah,
I want to say Denver, but the problem is that their schedule was so road heavy to begin. You know, I don't think we really know where we are right now. You know, there's 15 back to backs in the NBA, and we just turned the calendar for us anyway. We just turned the calendar year, and we have 8 of them already gone. So, and we got 4 months to go. So that tells you how crazy it's been. You know what, though? I know what I know. And Denver right now is the best team in the Western Conference until somebody proves them otherwise. The two teams I'm worried about are Minnesota and Oklahoma City.
Mm.
And, you know, and how times have changed. It's no longer the L.A. teams and, you know, and Phoenix and Golden State and Portland. Now here come all these small market teams, and look at them go, you know. So I would say Denver's number one, Minnesota is number two, Oklahoma City is number three, and then, you know, fill in the blanks later, and we'll see what the rest of the season unfolds.
Do you think that this is kind of something where teams like Minnesota and Oklahoma City are looking at what the Nuggets have done, especially Oklahoma City? I know the Timberwolves have went out and got some big-time players, Rudy Gobert, but they're building, as you talked about, building it the right way from the ground up, not necessarily just going out and doing what Phoenix does and go buy as many players as you can and see if you can pair all these great players together. It does seem interesting. You're seeing these young teams come up. Well, they have something very much in common with what the Nuggets have done to get to this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's a copycat league, that's for sure, right? And you look at Phoenix and just go back and look at that Kevin Durant trade. They mortgage the future. They're done. I mean, if they don't win it this year, they have no picks. They're maxed out on salary. I mean, that's going to be a long haul for them. They have to win it with Durant there, or else obviously that did not work at all. But building, you know, but like I said, it's a copycat league. How did the Nuggets do it? Well, they got a little bit lucky and got the best player on the planet the second round. Let's start there. But after that, it's all pretty much been their own guys. They made one big trade, and that was to get Aaron Gordon here, and they lost Gary Harris in that process. But Gary's always had a problem of staying on the floor. He's always hurt. So that was the one big trade they made. Other than that, it's all been late-season trades at the trading deadline for a veteran that they think that can help them, like the Ish Smith, like the Reggie Jackson. And they've been building from the bottom up. They're grooming their rookies into second, third, and fourth-year players, and it's been paying off for them. The team that's the closest to the Nuggets that are even trying to run the Denver Nuggets offense, and they don't have the talent yet, but when they do, they're like a mini-me, is the Houston Rockets with Alperen Şengün. They run exactly what Denver runs. They are 100% copying the Denver Nuggets offense. It's a hard thing to do, but you're starting to see the tide turn in the NBA, and that's what teams are doing.
Jason, my man. It was a lot of fun last night, as always. So much respect for what you do in calling these Nuggets games every single game for as long as you've been doing it, my man. Nobody better, in my opinion. So just keep up the great work, as always. Appreciate you giving us some time today.
I appreciate you, Noco. We're right back at it tonight. We got Orlando in town, so we might as well go get another win.
Go get a win. You know, back-to-back doesn't scare me with this team. You know, you just trust them at this point. Jason, my man, appreciate you. Happy New Year.
All right, you too, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Jason Kosmitsky, the voice of the Denver Nuggets. It is interesting. Angel, I love these stats. At 6:51 left, the Nuggets were down 123-105. Again, 6 minutes and 51 seconds. The Warriors had a 99.6% chance of winning that game. And Denver comes all the way back. I think it feels like we're going to force overtime. Jamal gets the steal. They get the timeout, but they didn't get it over the half court line. So they pass it in. Joker has to launch a deep three, and the rest is history. It was a great night. It was. What more can you say about the Joker, dude? I tweeted this last night. When he retires, I'm just going to go into real estate because nobody is as interesting to me as Nikola Jokic. I mean, we could talk about Jamal Murray. We can talk about Nathan McKinnon last night. We're going to get into that. It's a poll question. We can talk about Russell Wilson and the Broncos players over the years. Joker is the most interesting guy, and he's the best player. I mean, you mix all that together. He's on TNT last night on the post game, and sometimes when I shoot it, it goes in. Sometimes it doesn't. I mean, what kind of answer is that? I love it. And so the idea of a Joker-less world is, and Batman might love that, but I don't know. It's going to be a dark day, so let's keep enjoying it while we have it. When we come back, let's talk about the big night last night for the Nuggets, for the Avs, two comeback wins. You're seeing two of the GOATs right now, I think. I think we're ready to say Nathan McKinnon's an Avs GOAT or the Avs GOAT, maybe. What a night. What an awesome Thursday night. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by Chevron.
Congratulations to Coach Bruce Dick on his induction into the Colorado High School Coaches Association Hall of Fame. Hear the Hall of Famer on KFKA weekdays 10 to 11.